Time now for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Now, here's their host, Warren Franklin.
Welcome to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. We have another great show lined up today. You're always welcome to call Mariah or Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group to discuss anything about real estate. Their number is 503-507-3666. We're going to get started today covering the landscape. I like that word with real estate, right?
Yeah, it is.
The landscape of real estate purchasing and sales.
So we're going to end the show today giving you guys some questions that I think are very important for you to ask your realtor before you buy a house. But first, before we get into that, we just have a plethora, a variety. We got a handful of different real estate topics that are all relevant going on in today's world, things we're seeing or situations we're seeing right now as real estate agents that we're going to spend a little bit of time chatting about.
Yeah, and a lot of these are coming from a local perspective, so that's really valuable for you guys as our audience. So take note, pay attention, get that pen and note paper, like I always like to tell my clients when I'm in that listing appointment, and hang me on the fridge afterwards for when you do have questions. Feel free to give us a call.
That's good. Okay, so this first thing I thought was really cool. This is a tip that anyone can use that is, say you're thinking about buying a house in a different area. This is relevant because it's a situation a lot of our clients are in. We have a lot of clients that are moving to Oregon and they've never seen, a lot of them are moving to Salem or maybe a town outside of the area, and they've never been here before. They're moving from another part of the country or whatever, but they've never spent time here. Or if they have, it's been a very long time. And so something one of my clients told me, though, that I was on the phone with a client who's thinking about moving here from another state that's in that situation, that I thought was really cool, is that they said that they've been walking around the outside of the schools that their kids would be going to, in the neighborhoods that they're looking in, on virtual reality, which I didn't even know that was a thing. But I guess if you have I don't know how a lot of the, do you know much about virtual reality headsets?
Okay.
Well, I've seen them. They're really cool. But I guess they have like the virtual reality headset and they're actually like, it's through Google Maps or whatever. And they're actually able to like somehow walk around the high school that their kids would be going to if they bought in this neighborhood and like check out the area, which I just thought that was so cool.
that's something I had never heard of. When you actually came home, you were really excited to tell me about that. And I thought of, wow, what a cool idea. But then again, I'm like, why am I missing out on this investment opportunity here? Because we need to create more like this, because if they're just viewing it even off of Google Maps, I mean, the quality of image, I don't know what it looks like.
Know.
But that's pretty cool. That's creative and innovative.
Innovative.
Yeah. Thank you. Tongue-tied.
This is a great way get a feel for the neighborhood you might be moving in if there is a house for sale. I know not everyone can do that because not everyone has these virtual reality things. I don't really know how I feel about
them.
But
if you're out of state,
it's pretty cool that you can use it for that.
Such a cool idea.
Yeah.
And like you said, you are getting more and more out-of-state clients. And how important is it to be comfortable with the area you're moving into, especially if you've never even landed foot there? Imagine you're buying this home in the dark, in a sense, kind of going off of your descriptions, your videos.
Mm-hmm.
If you can place yourself there virtually, why not?
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so next, this is a tip that I saw on a real estate blog, and it's a little relevant because this happened to us, and that is, so be aware for a home buyer, something to be aware of when you're purchasing a house is, where are, say you have like some trees that are giving you privacy or something, privacy plants or a fence even that's really important to you and to your property. Is that on your property or is it on the neighbor's? Because a lot of times buyers just assume it's on their property, but we don't really know, or it looks like it is, or, you know, what are the plans for that? So that's a big deal, because you could buy a house and then and it has so much privacy and it's great, and then all of a sudden you come there and it's completely gone. And now it went from being a very private home to just open, no privacy. So.
Yeah, the story's kind of seeming more familiar to me as you're talking about it. I think Mariah is also referencing a personal experience that she's not telling you guys. So I'm going to tell you a quick story. As you guys know, we just purchased a house over the summer, remodeling it completely. It's amazing. It's beautiful. We love it. Absolutely. Just so comfortable there. But we come back the next day, all the trees are gone. In our backyard.
Yeah, shortly after buying.
And these are shrubs. What type of tree is it?
Arborvitaes.
Arborvitaes.
Let me just say, they've been growing since the 70s. And so if you could imagine, they're not just like little, like they were
We're talking super like a 30, tall, 40
complete
foot.
Privacy. Like one of the things we love the most about the property is how
And we originally bought the house, though, because there's not much front yard, so you only have to go off of the backyard. Mm-hmm. So you walk outside, there's a back deck, back porch, which is your sanctuary. That's it. And it was so all private with arborvitaes.
Yeah.
And for those to all be cut down, now my whole backyard is open to the public. The street can look, because the way it's all sloped, I'm kind of on the downhill you know, side of things. So everybody's up higher than me, too. So if I'm to build a fence, say 6, 8 foot, if I really wanted to get a permit, the people are still seeing in my backyard. So I'm in a really tough, tricky situation, and I don't really know how to process it quite yet because I got so many other things to do. It's not the end of the world. There's problem solving to be made. But we could also talk about just being
that's
a good neighbor, too.
Learning thing, though, for home buyers is be aware. You know, that's a big, you know, we would have never imagined that would or could happen.
Man, I cannot imagine leaving the house one day. Thinking I've got this big, beautiful backyard, and then coming back and going,
it's just
what
like
just
all open.
Happened?
What?
Literally, I was speechless. Literally, I had to film it and send it to Mariah. And honestly, I'm going to have a surveyor come out and truly look at the property lines because I think someone was in the wrong. I'm not going to say I was, but somebody else was in the wrong.
Maybe.
And,
you
know, and I think there was a big boo-boo made on that one. So, but
anyway, that's
know your property lines.
For home, but it know, yes, just what the plans are for the privacy plants or fence or whatever it is, if that's important
generally,
to you.
Generally, there's a marker on
there. Generally, there is.
Yeah, there's a marker.
This marker was gone.
Yeah.
There's no marker.
Yeah. But they'd been up for so long. I mean, when they've been growing since like the 70s, it's different than they were.
And if there was a marker, it's most likely dead center of where the trees were.
Wow.
And with them all enclosing our house, I feel like we planted them originally when the house was built.
Because they go around the size. But anyway.
So.
Anyway.
Wow.
All right, well.
I'm just in shock.
I'm still in shock.
I can't imagine.
It's on the list of to-dos, just not right now.
But, you know, all these stories are great stories you can tell your people you're selling to and you're working
with.
Because
all a learning process.
Because this is a real-life thing that happened to you. And so it's maybe one of the steps you make sure you look at is before you buy a home, if it's got something like that, find out what the property line is and who owns what before you buy.
Yeah.
100%.
Definitely.
Wow. We're going to take a break?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. It's time to just move on to a commercial break. I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. And we're going to continue covering the landscape of real estate, both purchasing and in sales.
Okay, so I have a situation with a seller, a home seller. They had a sale fail due to a good amount of things that were, let's just say, a pretty bad inspection. That was the reason for the sale fail. So they want to know in this situation if they should fix these things, pull their home off the market, fix these things, and then put it back on the market and raise the price, or they have a backup offer in position if they should just move forward with the backup offer that they have and see what happens from there.
That's a tricky situation because as soon as you create a fail sale, back out, you never know what you're going to get with the next guy. So in a sense, I put it to be on you as the broker to figure out as much information as you can from the other buyer's agent that's in backup offer position and communicate, communicate, communicate. Because if you haven't been communicating with them throughout this whole process, you don't really even have an idea of what type of client they have. And you don't want to put your seller in the same exact position they're in currently and waste more time, possibly even more money. That's kind of the difference that separates a good agent from a bad agent. And a lot of it comes from the communication side. And we should be open with the buyer's agents on all ends. We should be able to talk to them and try and get as much information from their client as possible. And you would be surprised in the amount of information I'm able to suck from the buyer's agent. They tell me a lot. And it usually hurts them when it comes to the negotiation side because they just give their client up, whether it's, hey, you know, we're going to ask for this, but they don't really expect to get it. You know, when it comes to the repair.
They actually say that to you?
It's pretty funny. Because I'll play hardball sometimes, but then I'll back off. And, you know, it's kind of good cop, bad cop type of thing. But it's just that communication aspect. What are you going to do to negotiate on your client's behalf? And that's key, your client's behalf. So the right answer is if the terms make sense and you can negotiate through the inspection period, then do it. But if you're just not eye to eye on the repairs that are needed, and that's the key word, needed. There's some repairs you just ask for and you're like, man, not that big of a deal. But some repairs are like, I really don't feel comfortable buying a house with this not being performed. Like, this is a big deal breaker for me. And if it's a deal breaker, it needs to be said sometimes off paper.
I like that answer. Thank you. That's great advice there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, next little question we have is, does a home not having a bathtub hurt its value?
This is a very open-ended question.
I think it really depends on who you're asking because that's going to really change the answer to that question. But according to a 2013 study by the National Association of Home Builders, they found that 51% of home buyers prefer a master bath with a bathtub and a shower as opposed to just a shower stall.
51%.
So, you know.
So let's just break it how it is. 50-50.
Yeah. I don't think it's too big of a deal.
What I do notice, though, nowadays with conventional new constructions is there's always the choice. There's not much combination besides that hallway side bathroom. In the master bedroom, there's usually going to be both, the tub and the shower, just because the spaces, they're bigger. People, you know, used to be okay with 1,800 square foot home was pretty good.
It was big.
You know, now it usually wants to start at 1,800 and then go up in square footage and then no longer 2-car garages, 3-car garages. But so if you're looking at year builds, that's not really going to matter. You're always going to have a bathtub to play with. But in retrospect, those older homes, when space does become an issue, single story especially, we can break it down to who's actually purchasing the home, demographically, who's in your area. From my perspective, there's a lot of individuals wanting to do bathroom remodels with solely just showers. No more tubs. Partly because they want to tile it out or they just want to do some type of insert that's 55 plus for safety reasons, and those generally have walk-in tubs / showers, and they'll have a slide door to walk into. So I believe that statistic's pretty accurate, though, 50-50.
I would say
working with most clients around here, I never hear someone say, I'm not buying a house, there's no tub. if that's really important to you, then we walk and we move on. But that statement, have you ever heard that statement?
I've never heard that statement.
I've never heard that statement. So, you got a kid, wash him in the sink.
I've never heard the statement. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So, lastly, before we get into these questions that you should ask your realtor before you make the jump to buying that house is, a tip for, this is another tip for someone relocating to another state that we've been finding is very helpful lately, is to have your agent put you on a property search quite before you're actually ready to purchase. And what I found is that when we do this for our buyers, especially, honestly, this could apply to buyers who are already living here and are wanting to buy soon, really anyone wanting to buy, but I say especially for out-of-state buyers, is when they get on this property search well before they're ready to actually start looking and to pull the trigger, it really helps make them a lot more comfortable and feel more solid about their decision when they do decide to buy and they are ready, because they've already seen what other homes are going for. And so they can really know in their minds, like, okay, I'm buying this house at, say, like $400,000. But I know, because I've been seeing so many things in this area on the market, I know that I'm not going to be able to find anything better for this price, if that makes sense. I think it just helps not have any buyer's remorse, if you will, because they are educated about the market.
Could you paint a picture for the audience of what our market watch looks like for a buyer? Like, what can you do on the back end that's helpful for these buyers to receive automatic emails and updates with?
Yeah. So what we will do when we put you on this property search is basically we will get as much information as we can to be as specific as we can be about what it is that you're looking for, so that you're only getting homes sent to you that fit your actual criteria, whatever that might be. We can be pretty specific. And then when we do that, you will get emails sent to you as soon as a home hits the market that fits that criteria in the area and, you know, price range and everything else that you're wanting to look in.
Okay. I really love to add to that was a great description.
Yeah.
Is RCRM has both MLS systems involved with it too, meaning there's different areas brokers list homes in. So if you're from Portland in that market, you're part of the RMLS. If you're here in Salem, you're part of the WVMLS. Mariah and I, we pay in to be in both MLS systems, which only adds value for you guys as our client, because we think it's important for the audience, which is buyers that control the money, the markets, to see what's out there and available. So for us, that extra cost is important. But our CRM system includes both MLS systems. So it's there for whatever reason. There's some RMLS agents that only post in the RMLS if they list a home in Salem.
Oh, yeah.
Explain what RLMS and CMS,
So what he's saying is some agents, so they post the house that's in Salem on the Portland MLS system, which usually only agents in Portland are using. So basically, the agents who are in Salem who would be looking up your home or the home for the buyers are not even looking on the right system. That makes sense.
So you're missing a huge audience because
you're not even getting the right demographic.
Yeah, the demographic's really
important.
You're
not even getting that.
So you're missing a huge clientele. And imagine, we don't even really work the Portland market for the most part.
We do deals there every year, but it's not our main area.
It's not my main attack goal.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And it's because we just simply don't live there. If the deal comes, of course, we're going to work with it and make it happen. But with that being said, it just shows, though, Portland agents aren't going to be as motivated as they were if it was like 10, 15 minutes away, okay? Because those drive times just get to those agents and they simply want to pass by the home that might be more of an inconvenience for them rather than, it's 10, 15 minutes down the way, let's make it a convenient deal.
Yeah. So just make sure your home's listed with an agent who's using the right MLS system for your home's area.
Yeah.
Pays to ask the questions, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can contact them at 503-507-3666. We've got more right after this.
Welcome back to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Here's their host, Warren Franklin.
We're back with Mariah and Spence with the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group. You can call them at 503-507-3666. And we got a few minutes left. What do you have for us?
So now we're going to chat about some questions that we think are very important to ask your realtor before you make an offer or decide to go forward with an offer on a house. So the first one is, how long has this home been on the market for? Something that I get a lot from buyers is they'll send me a home, be like, okay, this home's been on the market for this many days. What's wrong with it? Why hasn't it sold? Do you think we could get a deal? Because, of course, that's what everyone thinks when they see that it's been on the market for more than, you know, a short amount of time.
17 days.
Yeah. But more often than not, when the home's been on the market for a good length of time, what I found is that usually it's because there was a sale fail and then it came back on market. I mean, that's usually what I see.
And you're exactly right. I've been seeing a lot more fail sales because in the inspection period, buyers either asked for what they wanted or just too much came up for the price they're paying and they backed out and moved on to the next house. That's kind of generally what I've been seeing.
Yeah. Next is, how old is the roof? So your roof might come out just fine on the inspection, but if you know that there's only a few years left, that might be a big deal to you if you're just not going to be able to replace it in a few years. So that's important. Why is the seller selling? I think it's important to know, you know, sometimes you can't know.
And how do we find that out? You communicate.
Yeah.
That's what your agent representing you should be doing for you, as well as the due diligence.
What is included in the sale and how old are the appliances?
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, to actually get the appliances, we have to, or any personal property, we have to make sure that it's in writing or it doesn't mean anything. That's important to know.
Put in writing.
Yes, it's got to be in writing.
Yeah.
Is this home in a flood zone? That's important.
Yeah.
You're going to need to know if you're going to have to pay flood insurance.
Buy a house on a hill and you don't have to worry about that.
That's a good idea.
Very true.
Okay, so now a quick tip of the week, then we'll get into your new exciting listing. So tip of the week is for home buyers, and that is, be aware that home prices can appreciate fast. So, I mean, it kind of goes without saying. Repeat that again. Be aware that home prices can appreciate fast. I know we've seen this from, you know, this summer until now, being in February, home prices have appreciated very fast, and it could continue to appreciate fast. So just
and she's saying appreciate appreciate.
Yeah.
Okay. That's only going to increase you as a seller. That's
but
beautiful.
As a buyer, be aware. Yep. So
all right.
Tell us about this listing.
We got some exciting things happening. The reason I'm so excited is because it's in our hometown community, the Cascade School District especially. And it's because the desirability is so high, but there's such lack of inventory. It has been insane. So if you want to be in the Cascade School District, you may have children. But also, if you're in that upper crowd, 55 and over, single story home. So it fits the boat for a lot of people, which makes it beautiful. It's in a very desirable neighborhood, well developed. Development started about 2005. So the address, if you want to write it down, 974 Heiberger Loop in Almsville, Oregon. That's 974 Heiberger Loop. I'm going to say it one more time, 974 Heiberger Loop in Almsville, Oregon. This is a 3-bed, 2-bath, single story, but it does have a second story with just one bonus room. So you can use that as extra storage, attic space. I even saw it be used as a movie room at one point through its lifetime. So this is built in 2007, and it's got some really good qualities to it, mainly because it's just like these newer constructions that we're seeing. You're getting 1,900 plus square feet, guys. 1,900 plus square feet. And it's going to be listed in the mid-400s. And so it's very desirable because of the walkability aspect of it. You got sidewalks all the way around with parks. There's built-in parks in this neighborhood, and there's no HOA fee to be involved with that, which is phenomenal for you as a buyer. This address is 974 Heiberger Loop, Almsville, Oregon. 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,900 plus square feet, single story, and don't forget about the gazebo out back, built in, ready to go.
All right. I've got contact information, too, if you want to get in touch with Mariah and Spence. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening to Mariah and Spence on 1430 KYKN. Join us next Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for Real Estate with Mariah and Spence. You can contact Mariah and Spence at the Vetrus Crawford Realty Group by calling 503-507-3666. That's 503-507-3666.
You've been listening to Real Estate with Mariah and Spence right here on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.